We are continuing our series entitled The Pathway to Freedom. We are on lesson number 5. Does everybody have notes? If you don't have notes, raise your hand. Everybody have notes? We need 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's get everybody's eyes on the word since we're on one accord. Keep your hand up. There we go. Are we short? Take a note from somebody who don't need one. Make couples share. Who didn't make enough notes? That would be me. our first lesson was, that's true. Thank you. Thank you for bailing me out. See, the reason why I didn't make more notes is because the notes are in the app. So if you don't have the app, download the app and follow along there. The Pathway to Freedom, lesson 1 was entitled Learning to be Led. Lesson 2 was Understanding Righteousness. Lesson 3 was Seeing the Unseen. And last week, Terrellyn taught Your Perspective is Your Reality. Terrellyn taught that how we often see ourselves is a temporary view of what's real until the Word of God is applied to it, until the truth of the Word of God is applied to it. She made the statement that the Bible should be read from beginning to end, however, is best understood from the end to the beginning. Because when you and I understand that we win, we walk a different walk. When we understand that no matter what the enemy comes at us with, because of the end of the book, it shares with us the truth of you are an overcomer. She made the statement that to avoid fussing or to avoid the fussing of Martha's perspective and tap into the essential perspective that Mary had. Mary had the one essential thing that was needed. She also said that we have to want Jesus to be our Lord, not just our Savior. And that takes us to this week's subtitle, which is Solid Ground. We're talking about the pathway to freedom. The pathway to freedom is solid ground. We have to know and understand how we're walking and where we're walking. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Where are you guys going? Matthew 24:3. Those of you who are watching online, Matthew 24:3. And we're going to go through verse 14. Matthew 24:3 says, Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. Isn't it interesting that the first response to that question was, don't be deceived. Don't allow deception to creep in. If you're thinking that thought, he challenged it right away with don't be deceived. Then he goes on to say, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and many will be deceived. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, and pestilence means fatal epidemic diseases, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9 goes on to say, Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached and in all the world as witnesses to all nations. And then the end will come. What I want to look at from this text, notice that lawlessness will cause the love of many to grow cold. It also points out that enduring to the end bears the promise of salvation. It talks about preaching this gospel of the kingdom makes us witnesses to all nations. Let's look at the question, why would Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, permit or allow what's going on in our world today? Could he be using this time to alert us, to give us some hints of his coming? If it is, can we say the world is ready? Can we say that we are ready? I'm actually really concerned that many in the church may not be ready to meet him. Can we ignore what the entire world is experiencing right now? Is it a wake-up call? Is it a wake-up call for the world to get saved and for the church to return to their first love, for the church to make him their priority again? The reason why I'm concerned is because the church was never supposed to be an entertainment center. The church was never supposed to be a motivational center where there's physiological, that thing, and mind over matter. Family, if we don't look to the God of the world, if we don't look to Jesus Christ over the God of the world, over what the world is doing, is it possible that we'll miss it? Is it possible that we won't be ready? Have you ever noticed when everything is good, when there's no issues, how easy it is to be relaxed? You ever notice how easy it is when the wind's at your back to not really have a concern? Why is it that we learn more from going through the desert than hanging out in green pastures? Why is that? It's our human nature. Could we be on the verge of missing a message from Jesus? Could we be setting ourselves up to be shocked at his return? Do we pay attention, or we just shake it off and can't wait to get back to business as usual? Is there something going on? Is there a turbulence in the spirit realm, a shake in the spirit realm saying, wake up? Be awakened to what's going on. Be awakened to what is coming over the horizon. Is it possible, family? You know, moments like these show people, and I'm talking about the pandemic, moments like these show people how little control we really have. When a silent killer shows up and wipes out thousands of people, their money had nothing to do with the stopping or the spreading of this new strand of virus. Their power positions had nothing to do with stopping the spread of this virus. Is there something to pay attention to? Why is it that the storms of life and the toughest of times get our attention more than anything? Could it be that a relationship that is not demanding is left alone. Because think about it. You can do what you want to do. Jesus is not demanding anything. Jesus is not snatched. None of you got snatched up by the collar and drugged into church today. Is it possible that a relation that doesn't require you, force you, make you feel guilty, could be left alone? Is it possible? It's something to think about. So, the question, why would Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, allow or permit what's going on in the world today? We're going to try to answer that. We're going to attempt to answer that by asking questions. So pray for me. We're gonna look and see what the word says about where we are. How many people have given up praying who are now being awakened to pray? How many people have turned away or not made Jesus a priority who are now thinking, man, you know, the only one who can save me? How many people are made more aware? Is God using this time to see whose heart is turning towards him? Is God using this time to see if there's faith in the earth? Is he looking for faith? Now, before you misquote me, I know Jesus is not the author of stealing, killing, and destroying. I know he came so that you and I could have life and life more abundantly. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The pathway to freedom is building our lives on solid ground. The way you and I make it to the other side, the way you and I walk the walk of freedom is by walking on solid ground. Is it possible for people to spend their entire lives building their houses on sand? Can people invest years in looking good and not practicing what they've been taught? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Practice lawlessness. Now, I want us to see what the scripture is saying. The response that Jesus had to the individual who was practicing lawlessness, going through the motions, who obviously thought they were saved because things were going on. Jesus didn't say, I forget you. Jesus didn't say, you know what, you've been practicing lawlessness, I'm going to forget you. He said, I never knew you. Could it be that there are people who think they know God and don't? Is it possible, family? Is it possible to be hanging out, to be in the environment and not know God? That's something to think about, true or not true. It's something to quiet our minds long enough to say, Lord, what does this message mean to me? Not doing the will of the Father is another thing in that scripture that we need to take a look at. Not doing the will of the Father causes self-deception. Now, how could somebody stand before Jesus and say, Lord, you know, I've been doing that. I've been getting down. I've been casting demons out, Lord. I've been prophesying. Lord, I did so much. How could somebody get to that point and hear the Lord say, I never knew you? The answer to that question is self-deception. Can't we be deceived by not doing the will of the Father? Can't we get caught up doing our own thing? Is it possible that we can get caught up doing our agenda, our way, the way we have, the time that we allot for God, the time that we set aside for God, because our lives are busy. We have, there's a lot going on. Could it be that self-deception can blind the minds of those who think they know God? You know, I left some scriptures in your notes because I know you're going to need to study it out. I understand that. There are five scriptures I could go to and go through, but I'm not going to. But they're in your notes. So if you have your notes, hold on to those and study it out. Verse 24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, not man-made, not philosophy, not theory, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Doing the sayings of Jesus is a sure safeguard against self-deception. If you and I strive not to be self-deceived, the answer is do the works of Jesus. Do what Jesus did. Live your life. Let's make a decision. You know, we are not going to be self-deceived, so we're going to live our lives according to Jesus. We're just going to do it His way. It may not be popular sometimes. The path may be narrow. Not maybe. The path is narrow, y'all. And because it's narrow, it's not popular. But if we want to not be deceived, that's what's required. The rains, the rains, the floods, and the winds came against both houses exactly the same. Oh, let's read verse 24. I didn't finish that. I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, let me make a comment on that. Isn't it harder to build a foundation on a rock than it is sand? It takes work to dig it out. So it's hard to build a life that is founded on a rock. A sand takes nothing. You just throw it up. You just go through the motions. You just end up self-deceived. Then goes on to say, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Verse 25, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Verse 26 says, this flip side, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Now, the only difference, you see, sometimes we can get it twisted and we think, you know, because I'm a Christian, you know, I won't have hard times. You know, it won't rain on me. You know, my world won't be flooded because I'm a Christian. How could it be? You know, the rains came on those who built their house on the sand, and the rains and the floods and the winds came to those who built their house on the rock. The difference is those of us who say yes to Jesus and say yes to building our lives on the rock, when whatever comes our way, when the dust clears, when the winds cease, when the waters dry up, you'll remain. You'll be steadfast. You'll be right where you were before the attack. It's harder. I understand it. It's harder to build a foundation on a rock. This further explains Matthew 7:14, where it talks about the narrow life. Most people take the path that demands the least resistance, the least effort, with no thought of the future. It's easier and quicker to build houses on the sand. It takes effort and time to build on a rock, which is solid ground. And the subtitle of today's message is Solid Ground. We're talking about the pathway to freedom, it's solid ground. Now listen, we're talking about our life course, having joy. Now, I love everybody. There is good news. So I know, put your rocks down. I'm not coming at you. There, in fact, let's do this. Let's do a smiling exercise. Look at somebody and smile real big. Let's get a little more love in the room. If you, those of you online, smile real big. This is good. This is good. There's good news, I promise. Look at your neighbor and say, "You all right? You all right? Check on them. You all right, neighbor? All right. Here's the good news. All of you qualify for the whosoever that it talks about building our lives on the rock. All of us qualify to be that whoever. Whoever builds their life on the rock, on the word, on the life of Jesus, his way, his plan, his purpose, will go through the storms and yet remain. Storms come to everybody, but only those who do the word will benefit from solid ground. The good news is God is always good. Somebody say that with me. God is always good. That's the good news. Sometime God won't stop us from being thrown into the lion's den, but he will always stop and close the lion's mouth. Sometimes he doesn't stop us from being thrown into the fiery furnace, but he'll cause it to where you and I will walk out of there with not a single singe, and not even a smell. You don't look at your neighbor and say, "You don't even smell like smoke. You don't even smell." You know, and if we talk directly to our lives and our past, we can boldly say, "I don't look like what I went through." Is that true or not true? I don't look like some of y'all look good, but you went through some stuff that wasn't so good. And it's true. We don't look like what we went through. Because the grace of God is real, the power of God is real, the protection, the love of God is real. And he don't want us smelling like smoke. He don't want us being eaten up by the attacks of the enemy, by the attacks of the enemy. Not Jesus. Jesus didn't cause anything. Could he allow it? Sometimes he doesn't deliver us the way we want to be delivered. Some of us don't even want to. We don't even see the furnace. We don't want to hear a lion. We don't want to be nowhere near any sort of danger or trouble. Family, does the word of God really matter? God, we have to settle that. We have to settle that. Does the word of God really chart a course of freedom? How do we respond to a message like this? You see, times like this are wonderful opportunities to make course corrections. It's a wonderful opportunity to allow the goodness of God to show up in our lives like never before. You know, I had a hard time agreeing with the Lord about teaching this morning. You know, he just always wins. It I don't know why I push back. But it's uneasy. You know, if you ever had a situation in your life and you go on a discovery to find out what the problem is, and you go out, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this, and you find yourself standing in front of a mirror, and you have to admit that you could be a part of the problem. That's not easy. Oh, we're good at pointing fingers at somebody. Oh, if I wasn't raised the way I was raised. Oh, if my dad would have been home. Oh, if I would have grew up like you grew up. If I would have had all those things, we're easy to point the finger. But when we have to stand before ourselves and get real with ourselves and say, "Do I have a part to play in this?" That's a tough scenario. That is not true or not true. Is that easy? That is not easy. That is not easy at all. And if we want to find the path, we're talking about being free. We're not talking about hanging out or around freedom. We're talking about getting on the path to where we're not addicted to nothing. We're not in bondage to nothing. We're not stuck. We're not hung up on anything. And we're walking boldly into freedom. It's going to require you and I, you know, having a long talk with ourselves sometimes. You know, what is our part in this? Do we have a part in this? How do we build our lives on solid ground? Let's go to Revelations chapter 3 and verse 14. Somebody say, this is good news. This is good news. Online, I hope you said that. You plugged in. Be plugged in. Be present, online viewers. How do we build our lives on solid ground? Number one, don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Now, would that be in the word if it didn't matter? If God didn't care what we did one way or the other, would that be in the word? Family, it matters. It matters. The fruit that come off of our trees of life matter. Let's look at this. Revelation 3:14 says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know the works, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and I do not know, and you do not know, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, do not read that as if there's something wrong with being rich and wealthy. Listen to me closely. There is nothing wrong with being rich and wealthy. Does anybody agree with that? Raise your hand if you agree with that. You know, that's important. That's important. You know, the reason why they were rejected is because of the last statement. The last statement is, I have need of nothing. You know what that includes? God. The reason why they're neither hot nor cold, because all things are working out to the good, so they think they're self-sufficient. They don't think they need God. I have need of nothing. You know, God, maybe when I'm in my 70s, 80s, you know, I'll roll back around. I know you'll be there. And it's a shame that a relationship that doesn't demand from you can be neglected. It will always be our choice to serve God or not. He will always wait for us to choose Him. You know what humility is? Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you. Lord, I don't know how to raise a family. I don't know how to be married. I don't know how to run a business. Lord, I don't know how to do what I'm doing. Lord, I need you. You know what that is? Humility. And God loves that. God embraces those who say, Lord, I need you. And He pushes back against the pride, the proud. Person says, yeah, I got this. That turns God off. He's looking for people who to admit, because they're teachable. In order to be added to, we have to be teachable. Number two says what? Commit to the love of the Father. I'm going to give you guys another chance. Get you a passing grade. Okay. Ready? Read. Commit to the Father. Good job. I hope you're participating if you're watching online. Commit to the Father. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. If it didn't matter to God, he would not have included be hot or cold. God does not want you and I being lukewarm. God does not want you and I being self-deceived, thinking that we have what we have because of us, our energy, our efforts, our upbringing, our education. God wants you and I to be hot for him. He wants you and I to be on fire for him. You know, one thing that is true, that is always showing up, is if you get on fire for God, people will come from all over to watch you burn. You know, people are looking for something that's real. People are looking for the authentic. People are tired of fake people. People are tired of not having someone or something to depend on. 1 John 2, 15 and 16 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. We must reverence and respect God. It's still right to reverence God. It's still right to respect God, the Word of God, the things of God. Obeying the Bible and not living in sin is still a must. God is not pleased with his children, his creation, living in sin. And family, sin is not a bad word. It's okay to talk about sin in church. I mean, this is how we talk about it. If you're in it, get out of it. That's the message on sin. We don't have a sin problem. Jesus died for sin. He took care of that. All we have to do is get out of it. Get away from it. You know, I'm heartbroken because so many people have been deceived and rocked to sleep by sin. From the pew, can I say pew still in church? That's the chairs, y'all. Modern folks, the chairs. So from the pew to the pulpit, it's scary. Is it possible that we have a marvelous opportunity to look our Lord in his eyes and say, what would you have me to do? What should I stop doing? What an awesome opportunity we have. Now, I'm not saying everybody is missing it. I'm not saying that everybody, you know, is off, is living in a sin. Yeah. But I am saying there's far too many people. There's far too many people. Number three, ready, read.
Be the body of Christ.
Jesus did not die for his body to blend in. We can be separated and not segregated. We can be set apart and not disconnected or unaware. The church was not meant to make the world more comfortable than the Holy Spirit. That is wrong. It is not okay to invite the world in and kick the Holy Spirit out. Raise your hand if you witness that in the churches of America. I know I'm not alone. Family, that's not right. That is not right. We are not supposed to blend in and make the world more comfortable than the Holy Spirit. How often is the Holy Spirit grieved because his truth is not being taught? How often are ears being tickled to keep the numbers up and keep the seats filled and keep the world with no change attending?
Family, it's about you and I being led by the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to have our vessels to do what He wants to do in the earth. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
You know what amen means? It means, yeah, I'll take that. Oh, yep, count me in. It means, so be it. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, you right, preacher.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll take some of that too. That is your agreement. That's like you signing the document. Number four. Ready? Read.
Be watchful.
Be watchful. Family, we have to refuse all human reasoning and simply depend on, trust, and rely on the Holy Spirit. What is He saying? What is He doing in the earth? Be watchful. Matthew chapter 20, let's go there. Matthew 24, verses 42. We'll look at 42 through 43. Be watchful is number four. Number four, be watchful. Let's read that. Let's read that together. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that in the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Isn't that true? If you knew when someone was coming to break in your house, would you go on a vacation? If you knew, if you found plans for someone to rob your estate, would you plan a vacation during the same time period? Absolutely not. How many people are on vacation right now? How many people are not watchful for what's going on in their house? Verse 43. Is that 43? Oh, 44. Ready? Read. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Be watchful. If a global disarray doesn't get our attention, I'm concerned that we won't be ready. If we fail to discern and interpret what is going on, I'm concerned we won't be ready. If we return to business as usual and find ourselves doing what we did with no heightened anything, I'm concerned. If we just keep marching forward and keep going through the motions, we'll find ourselves having a form of godliness and denying all His power. It's not God's order. Family, I am pleading with all of us. Get your house in order. Whatever it is, just get your house in order. Here's what has been happening. People get offended because of another man's or woman's shortcoming. And they take the gift that God has given them and they put it on a shelf because man offended them. And the gift of God that is for the people lies dormant because the enemy was clever enough to cause offense to set in. Don't let that be you. Make the determination, no matter what man does to me, I'm not gonna abandon what God called me to do. I'm gonna do my assignment. I'm gonna stay the course. The finish line is in front of me. Don't waste your time fighting with the hagglers on the sideline who aren't even running their race. They're watching you run the race. Isn't it interesting that people who aren't participating are the best critics? Isn't that interesting? You ever notice that? The commentators and the hecklers in the crowd are the greatest critics, and they're not on the floor. They're not on the court. They're not in ministry. They're not doing your life. Don't allow them to distract you. Number five, ready, read. All of us need to press the reset button in our lives. God's system must be our default system. We have to return to what's considered old-fashioned and getting on our knees, spending time with God, fasting, praying, setting time aside. There's nothing old-fashioned about building your relationship with God. Ask Him what He wants you to do. Ask Him what He wants you to change. And whatever He says to you, like Mary said to the disciples, do it. Do whatever He says for you to do, you do that. Number five, ready, read. Oh, I said five. Number six.
Make the decision to be led by the Holy Spirit.
That's a decision. To yield to Him and turn a deaf ear to the critics, to the naysayers. Be led by the Holy Spirit. What is it that He's saying to you? Let Him lead your life. Don't let situations and circumstances lead your life. Number seven. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Make the word of God your final authority. You know what? The danger in not making the word our final authority is we can become so opinionated that we think our way is right and we can hold fast to our way of doing things or hold fast to what someone else is saying to do and not allow the word of God to be our final authority. You know, all of us, I can say that without hesitation. If you're over 5 years old, all of us have made some sort of emotional decision that we knew was right. You couldn't tell us we weren't right. And true or not true, it turned out to be wrong. Am I by myself? Anybody else in the house or online? It's true. Now, that wasn't the word of God's fault. It was a feeling. It was an emotion that welled up on the inside of us to such a degree that we thought, oh, this has got to be it. I submit to you, if you and I look to the Word of God, we only do what we hear Him say do, what the Holy Spirit says do, if we filter our lives through the written Word of God, we'll be on the pathway to freedom. Did I read Proverbs yet? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Ready? Read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Our understanding will get us in trouble. True or not true? It'll get us in trouble. Our understanding, our comprehension, our experience, our upbringing will get us in trouble. But if we look to the Word of God as our final authority, we're going to be all right. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus. You don't have to be afraid. What I don't want us to take away from this message today is fear. Don't let fear creep in. But we don't have to be afraid. If there's something in our lives that we need to repent from, repent and move forward. You know, don't allow the enemy to get us stuck on, oh man, I did this, I did that. Oh, how am I ever gonna? That is not God. God is a God of love. God corrects us with His word. He doesn't correct us with broken legs and car accidents. God uses His word to nudge his family back over to oh, you're too far to the left, Freddie. Yeah, get back over here to the right. You know, I'll see something in the word and illuminate. Oh, okay, yes, sir. And get back. That's how He corrects us. That's how He leads us. He's a good, good God. Don't allow fear to be the dominant factor or outcome or takeaway. Listen, God is with us. It doesn't matter what we go through. When God is with us, He's going to see us through. And that's the what we have to take away from this. Ezekiel 33:7-8, it talks about God's goodness, his mercy, and his grace. You know, he's a merciful, gracious God to those who call. Let's read that together. It's on the screen. Ezekiel 33:7. Ready? Read. You, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them. Verse 8. Ready? Read. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, you do not speak the harm of the wicked from his way. All God is asking us to do is call on him. Can we do that? Is that within our means to do? That's all he's asking us to do. Let's bow our heads and pray. I don't know where you are. I don't know why this was the message that was dropped in my spirit. I know why I was trying to avoid it. What an awesome opportunity we have to make mid-course corrections. God is so faithful and loving. He's so full of grace. He loves us enough to steer us right into the center of his will. That's how much he loves us. He don't want us to be left to our own demise or caught up in emotions that lead us astray. God's desire is for you and I to walk on solid ground, to be on the pathway that produces freedom, life, love, joy, peace. Dear Heavenly Father, here we are, vessels yielded to you. What would you have us to do? Father, if there's anything in our hearts that shouldn't be there, if there's anything that we need to repent for, make adjustments for, will you help us? Will you show us what that is? And if you know what that is, if you're watching online or sitting here, begin to pray to your daddy right now. Begin to share your heart with him. Just minister to the Lord. If you want someone to pray with you, all you have to do is raise your hand, and we'll have someone come and pray with you and be in agreement with you. Well, what an awesome opportunity. Lord, what would you have me to do? Help me. Father, forgive us for allowing the situation and the circumstance to blind us from your goodness. Forgive us for magnifying the problem over the solution. You're the solution. You're the answer. Forgive us for choosing fear over faith. Forgive us for allowing bitterness to creep in and begin to harden our hearts. Father, we just want a tangible, relative, fruitful relationship with you. Will you help us today? Father, we love you with all of our hearts. We know we come up short, and we're not trying to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. We're not trying to be perfect. We just want your help. Will you help us today? What would you have us to do? Thank you, Lord. What an awesome opportunity. We have to stop and just go to Dad. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I've never condemned you. I've never pushed you away. All I have is love for you, my child. All I have is joy and appreciation. I love you and I accept you. You are mine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name forever. Oh, you're such a faithful God. You're so good. You never push us away. You never try to pay us back. You never try to make us feel any way but love. And we're so grateful. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Praise your holy name forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you. You know, it is just awesome to get into the Word of God. This is awesome to stand before you and minister. You know, I hope you got something out of the Word today. You know, let's stand to our feet. And in the natural, we were taught, most of us taught, most people were taught, when you receive something in the natural, what do we say? So if you receive anything in the spiritual, will you thank our Father in heaven? Right where you are, just begin to thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Thank you for hope. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for directing us, for guiding us, for leading us. Thank you, Lord, for good news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're so good. Thank you for our sound minds. Thank you that we are here. Lord, we thank you that even though thousands of lives have been lost, millions of lives have recovered from the attack, from the virus. Millions have recovered. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.